Everybody pick up your hymnal with me this morning. Let's turn to page number 24. Page 24.
Preaching myself a sermon out of my little notes. Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I'm glad you're here. We'd like to welcome our visitors here with us this morning and just invite you to join in with us as we worship God and read from His Word here in just a little bit. Yesterday was a very, very beautiful day after all the storms came through. I know I'm not real smart. I understand that. But I decided I wanted to go fishing yesterday morning before the storms got here, because that's usually when the fish bite best, right? So, you know, I had some very good, I thought, rain gear, and it's not very good. But anyway, it still stayed warm, and the sun came out, and we went back later. I went home for a while, so... didn't catch any fish, but enjoyed God's creation, and encourage you just to look around outside at the blooms that are coming on and all this stuff, and give God the praise. It's going to be a little bit cooler, I think, today, but and we got some more rain coming in. But it's that time of the year. Got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff coming up, and so we encourage you to be a part of it. The sun might not be shining brightly outside, but it is in here. All right, we have a few announcements. March the 11th, that's in the morning, if I'm not wrong. There's going to be a little breakfast men's meeting over at Deborah's Restaurant. That's just between the junction of 5 and 7 and Fountain Lake School. Everybody's invited. Anybody that wants to go, it's at 8 o'clock. Brother Derwin Harris is the one that got that up some time back, so I'm going to try to be there. Encourage you to come. Next Sunday morning will be our special offering for Brother Walter. As you know, Brother Walter's have been dealing with a lot of health issues and doctor bills, and so we're trying to help him what we can. It's good to see Brother Walter able to be with us here today. So he needs your prayers as well as he goes through this. The 31st. That Sunday afternoon or evening, actually at 6, will be our singing and fellowship. So we will have refreshments and we'll do some singing and we'll talk about whoever's not here. I wasn't kidding. I'm just kidding. And then April the 6th will be our spring church yard cleaning here at 9 o'clock. And so come and let's pull some weeds and make the place as presentable as possible. Then nursery attendance this morning is Cindy and Jerry. Next Sunday will be Sam and Donna. Any other announcements? Okay, was brought up this morning just so you can schedule. I'll go ahead and mention it. Vacation Bible School will be the second week at when? June. So keep that in mind. Cindy's already got everybody lined out, don't you?
No, but I'll just sign up to see if I'm a bad.
Okay. That'll be coming right up before you know it. Anything else? Don't forget our services tonight and Wednesday night. Having good Bible studies. Enjoying that. And the kids on Wednesday night are having a good time as well. So. Anything else?
Page 167.
I saw a wayward traveler in tattered garments clad and struggling up the mountain. It seemed that he was sad. His back was laden and heavy. His strength was almost gone. Yet he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come in palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. I saw him in the evening, the sun was sinking low. He'd overcome the mountain and reached the veil below. He saw the golden city, his everlasting goal, and he shouted,
I think I've got them lined out now. Brother Jerry's shaking his head at me. It's a great day in the Lord today. We're tickled to be here. It's so nice to look out and see all those bright, smiling faces this morning in God's house. Amen. We're going to sing a song for you this morning I don't believe has ever been done on this stage. And after we do it, you might not want it done again. It's entitled, I'm Too Near Home.
I've been traveling here this line with this heartache, trouble, and strife. Sometimes Satan tries to tell me to turn aside. I say, Satan, get me right. No returning me of mine. I'm too near my heavenly home where I love mine. I'm too near of my Lord. Too near home and every morning.
Special for us this morning. The title of their song is Come Morning.
God's children belong, have been burdened. Cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me.
Is that mine gone?
I'm not hearing.
Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, O Father, how long? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest 'neath the evergreen tree. So I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me.
Thank you for that good music and the choir singing. And you know, we didn't mention it earlier, but the choir practices usually at 5 o'clock on Sunday evening. I guess we're going to do that again today. As far as you know, and boy, it's sounding good. That was a good song. I like that. And the other song, Dwight and Dixie, some morning, one of these mornings, we're going to gather up and we're going home. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. We're going to be reading out of 1 Thessalonians here in just a little bit. First of all, though, I want to talk to you just a little bit about something different than my sermon. I want to thank you for your generosity, y'all, and your giving and your heart. All this last week, we had Brother Raymond Foster here speaking to us about the MBSF over there at the College of the Wichitas. He did a great job. I always like to hear people come and talk about the work that the Lord's laid on their heart. Then Sunday night in our business meeting, if you weren't here, we voted to support that work. Also, we voted to support the Amazon Project, which is a seminary that's a project that's going on down in Peru, teaching those young pastors down there of the Peruvian descent, if you will, to be able to spread the gospel more effectively down there. Also, we voted to give the Arkansas Mission Builders a donation to help in that work. We happily embark on our journey with them to spread the gospel throughout the world. It's important that we do support them physically. It's very important that we support them spiritually. And so your prayers much needed and wanted there. This is on my heart a lot, mission work. In addition to that, our church supports the mission children's home in Texarkana, the seminary in Little Rock, and Brother Yorley also in Peru. We couldn't do what we do supporting them without you and what you do. And I appreciate that very much. Church gives a lot to missions, never too much to good missions, spreading the word. Because of it, your giving heart, we're able to be a part of that. Also, I wanted to say this before I get into the sermon content. Last Tuesday night, we had our Lord's Supper here at the church. It was a wonderful service. And if you weren't here, you missed a blessing. So plan on coming the next time as we observe the Lord's Supper and remember what Jesus did for us there on the cross. All right. As you know, I've been challenging everyone to invite someone to church. That should be our desire, is to grow this church so that God would be glorified, so that we can honor and glorify Him, so we can spread the gospel. We do a lot of mission support, as I said just a minute ago. But mission work truly does start at home. It starts right here. The more of us that we can gather together with like mind and focus, the same goals of seeing lost people saved, the more that we can do. All of us together can do a lot more than just a few of us. I believe, without a doubt, that God will bless our efforts to further His work here on this earth. I know He will. I've seen Him do it. I see Him working here at this church right now. Now, we've talked many times in the past several years about church growth and the question about how can we grow the church. That is a big question out there in the world today, isn't it, right now, even here with us. How can we grow the church? According to some magazine articles and some other literature circulating around there, we can grow our church if there's a list. I'll start at the top. If we attend a church growth seminar. So I don't know about y'all, but if that would grow the church and we could preach the gospel and change lives, then I'm all for going. Okay? If that's what we're supposed to do. That's what the magazine says. Okay? Also, we're supposed to change our Sunday school literature. Now, I don't know what we're supposed to change it to, because what we preach and teach in our Sunday school comes right out of the Bible, and I'm not for changing any part of the truth. Amen. We could change our music. I guess that's a preference. I don't know about y'all, but I thought the music was pretty good. I'm not really sure I won't do that either, right? And we can read Christian books. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading good Christian books. I like to read them. God's inspired people to share. It's never wrong to increase your knowledge as long as we can bounce it against the truth of God's Word. There's even some out there that claim that if we will just send them a donation, they have the ability to grow our church. So, you know what, I've come down to this thought. The subject of church growth is big business in America. There's a lot of folks that are making a lot of money selling literature and doing guest speaking and just stuff like that. We could spend tons and tons of money to learn what I already know, is that God builds His church. What's driving all this, though, is really a true desire of pastors and good godly men and women to spread the gospel here in this world that we live in. We know that this world and this culture that we see around us, even here in the United States of America, is becoming increasingly hostile toward Christians and our beliefs. So what do we do? That's a big question, isn't it? What do we do? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I want to start in verse 11. I believe that the answer is always in God's Word. Not in my Word, not in magazine articles or anything like that, but it's in God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 11. It says, "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." I believe, without a doubt, that the Bible teaches us that the way that we spread the gospel and that we grow our church is to be a holy people. Holy literally means dedicated or consecrated to God, sacred, hallowed, a holy people. Leviticus chapter 20, and there's several scriptures back there that tells us this, but in Leviticus 20 it says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." Sanctify means set apart or declare as holy. You see, I think that part of the problem in religion today and in churches today is that people are seeking after the pleasures of life and they want to intermingle the two. God tells us in His Word to be holy, to be set apart, to be focused on what He wants us to do. And that's preach about Jesus and to follow His commandments. We're to be sanctified or set apart. We're to be holy. Now this church here is a great church. We do the best that we can to preach and teach the Word of God and don't leave anything out and don't add anything to it. And y'all are a great, loving, caring bunch of people. But you know, when we focus on being holy and set apart, that's what happens. God will set us apart. God will increase our love. And when our love's increased, then it spreads and it shows. We're to be holy. Now, we've talked about this a lot in the past, and it's something that's very near and dear to my heart, but this United States of America that we live in, I believe wholeheartedly, was founded on godly principles. I think there's a lot of things that are going on in our nation today that are directly against what God would have us to be doing. We've talked about some surveys and stuff that claim that there's 63%, 64%, 65% of Americans claim to be Christian, but still yet we see unchristian-like values being promoted. Part of the problem, if not the main problem, is that a lot of people that call themselves Christians use that term when it suits their purpose. But if something else comes up that's more important to them, they switch over and do that. The scriptures that I've just read tells us that we are to be holy, set apart. I want you to know this is not an easy sermon to preach, but it's the truth. I want you to know this. God expects His children to be His children all the time, even when it's not easy, and even when it may cause us to do what He wants us to instead of what we want. You see, to be set apart, to be holy, and to be sanctified by God means that we focus on Him, that we focus on His teachings, and that we focus on His will in our life every time. It means not going fishing sometimes when I want to. It means a lot of things. But you see, I believe that the Bible teaches us throughout that when we honor and glorify God and that when we make Him number one in our life, then He'll bless us. When a church comes together and focuses as a body 100% on what God would have us to do here, He will bless us. If we want to grow this church, and I believe that everybody here does, we want, though, to give God the honor and the glory. I encourage everybody to invite people all the time to witness to them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about what we have here. But listen, it's not about coming then to have a big social event that we can all be partakers of and have a good time. That's a byproduct. That's not the focus. The focus is telling people about Jesus. The focus is about dedicating our life to God. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as we have received of us, as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." Walk and please God. Take up your cross. Take up my cross. Take up our cross daily and walk to please God. I've said many times, this life that we live, this journey that we're on here on this earth is really only preparation for eternity. And if we can ever get that in our head that it's really all about God and what He did for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, then we can get ourselves out of the way and truly focus on serving Him. It truly is all about God. Walk to please Him. Verse 2 says, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God." Are you listening? Do you want to know what God's will is? "This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of conspicuance." Boy, that one came out wrong. "Even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." You know, as I was studying and thinking about this, and I was reading and over and over again, the Bible tells us to be holy. I submit to you this morning that it's really, really hard to be holy if you just are holy when you choose to be, or when it doesn't conflict with something else that's going on. To be in holy means that we're to be set apart. It means that we're to focus. You know, I've had people say, "Well, I don't want to go to church right now because it gets in the way of a lot of things that I do." And I've had people say, "Well, I don't want to become a Christian because I have to give up too much." And the truth of the matter is very simply this. When you become a child of the King, and when you choose to serve God, you don't give up anything. You only gain things like peace, joy, happiness. You know, I've preached sermons over the last years about joy. And we know from God's Word, and if you've walked on this life very much, you know that happiness is here today and gone tomorrow. And happiness is contingent upon the events that go on in your life and maybe your financial status, or maybe you've had a hard time or sickness. Or happiness is here today and gone, maybe even today. It don't even have to wait till tomorrow. But true joy True peace and true contentment only comes from in here. You see, when we set ourselves apart, when we become holy unto God, then the things of this world doesn't really matter to us anymore. It don't matter what kind of car we drive or what kind of boat we have, or it don't even matter how pretty you are, and I'm glad of that. All that really matters is our heart condition. You see, I believe that people read our actions more than they listen to our words. We've talked about in the past, we've talked about raising children, how that we can tell them not to do something over and over and over again, but if they see us doing something else, guess what they're going to do? They're going to do what they see more than what they hear. You see, I believe that the way to grow God's church is to live a life that's pleasing to God and to be content in the moment. Paul said that he had found that he could be content in whatever situation he found himself in because of his faith. When we have that, when we truly have that in here, it shows. The way to grow God's church is to grow ourselves in spirituality. The Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman, rightly dividing the Scripture. How do we know what God wants us to do if we don't make His Word a part of ourselves? If we don't have the faith, and if we don't live, and if we don't walk that walk daily, then the circumstances that come up in this life will drag us down and cause us to be unhappy. And have you ever seen a Christian walking around with a long face inviting somebody to church? Don't work too good, does it? But you see, when everything that we have happened to us in this life, we count as a blessing. People see it. Well, how, preacher, can it be a blessing to have cancer? You know, when I went through my cancer treatments and stuff, I met people and I got to talk to people and I got to witness to people and I got to invite people to church and I got to talk to people about Jesus that I would have never met and never come in contact with. It's all about what we do with our situations. I think about Brother Walter and his battle with cancer. And he had hair again after all those treatments, and now it's all gone, but he's still got a smile. Hair is overrated anyway, right? It's our attitude. Because when we truly have the right attitude, when we have that daily walk, and when we know that everything that happens to us in this life is preparing us to be who God wants us to be for eternity, then we can have joy and peace in every situation that we come in contact with. You see, the can't nothing take what Jesus did for you, away from you. So what is this life going to do to you? It can send you to heaven a little quicker. Other than that, that's about it. Can't take your joy away from you when your joy is in here in God. When we dedicate our life to serving Him, people see that. We as Christians, we as a church, we as God's children need to go about our daily lives in a manner that brings honor and glory to God. And when you do that in real life circumstances, don't kid yourself, people notice. They take note. Oh, I know that we could probably do a lot of things physically that would appeal to a lot of people out in the world, and we could probably preach feely good stuff that makes everybody happy and do inspirational speaking and fill this church up, have to build a new building. But I submit to you that when we do our part in truth, that God will do his part. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Now, I've said this before, I believe it within from down to the bottom of my feet, that God doesn't look at numbers and sizes of church buildings to decide whether we are a successful church or not. He looks at the condition of our hearts and what we're preaching and teaching. I want you to know something this morning. We here at Oak Hill stand firm on the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God. Amen. And people that come to church just to come to church and never come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have failed. And we as God's church can fill this place up with people, and if we never tell them about Jesus and God's plan in their life, we've failed. God wants us to enjoy life, but not at his expense. God wants us to enjoy this life, but we still have a job and a purpose to do, and that's to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. We do mission work afar and close. Let us never forget that mission work, that's literally spreading the gospel, starts right here. Not in this church, right here in your heart. Oh, by the way, you are the church. But it's an individual relationship with God. When we dismiss here in a little bit, when we go out those doors and out into the world, we take this church with us because that's who we are. We want to grow this church. Live a life pleasing to God. What's pleasing to God, preacher? Put him number one. Not number two, or not number one when it suits us, but number one always. David Phelps sings that song he calls Second Fiddle. And in the words to that song, it says that God will not accept second fiddle. I want you to know that God will only accept from us being number one. Anything else is rejected. But I know that when we put God first, he'll bless us. You know, people stress over money and this, that, and the other. And I want you to know I'm not preaching a sermon about giving. Y'all are good givers. But I want you to know you cannot outgive God. If you think you can, try him. But I want you to know that giving of your money, that's easy. Oh, preacher, that ain't easy. That's coming right out of my checkbook. That could be whatever. Listen, giving of your money is easy. Giving of yourself really shows your commitment to God. You can't outgive God. No matter what situation you find yourself in, if you've given yourself totally to God, He will see you through it. He'll lift you up. I had a feller not too long ago ask me that something had happened at work, broke down, something fell plumb off, and just, he said, "Do you not ever get upset?" I said, "Well, you know, would it help? I mean, would it help the bucket on that excavator get back on there if I jumped up and down, threw a little hissy fit, said some bad words?" No. God got this. God got this church. God's got you in whatever situation you're in. Give Him the honor and the glory. Dedicate your life to Him. Live it every day and watch God work. Boy, ain't nobody here would rather see this church full than me. But you know what? I sit up here and I look back through there and I see God working. And I see people that are coming and interacting and doing. And I see God at work. I believe that we have a job to do here, and that's to spread the gospel and to live a life pleasing to God. But that can only happen when we dedicate ourselves to His service. Listen, you want to be blessed in this life? Serve God daily and watch Him bless. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy, He said. That's what He expects from us. And when we do that, we'll see God work in a mighty way. You want to know what's the matter with the world today? The world is an unholy place to live. You want to know what's the matter with America today? And I don't care which side of political anything you're on. I don't care. What's the matter with America today is it's become unholy and partaking in unholy things. You want to see God bless this nation? Be ye holy as I am holy, He said. Jesus said, My people which are called by My name will humble themselves. God said, if My people, I'll get this right in a minute, will humble themselves, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. It's up to us. It's up to us. Listen, maybe you're here this morning and maybe God is dealing with you in something. Maybe you need salvation. Maybe you don't know salvation. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Let me tell you, there's only one name under heaven given whereby men might be saved, and that is Jesus the Christ. He is the Messiah, and He is the Son of God, and He died on the cross for all sins. We're here this morning doing the best that we can to serve Him. Maybe God is calling you to preach or to lead out in a Bible study or whatever the case may be. All you have to do is take the first step, and He'll see you home. You'll see this church grow. Invite people, but live the life before them. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me and bow with me, please, for a word of prayer. Fathers, we come to you at this time. Thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, I You know the burden that I have on my heart, Lord, for the lost. Lord, that this church would grow, that we might be an influence on lives around us. But Lord, let us always stay focused on your will and your honor and your glory. And Lord, help us to become a holy, set apart, sanctified to your purpose. Lord, if there's any lost amongst us today, I just pray that the Spirit would convict and draw them so that they might know that there is a reality in serving a true and living God. And the reality is eternal destination to be in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would soften the hearts of those that we come in contact with and help us, Lord, that we would be an influence in our lives and in our words, that we might glorify you and lead lost to salvation. Lord, I pray that you would bless this church. Send us the people, Lord, that you would have us to have, that we might become a better church and serve you better every day. I know, Lord, that you build your church as you see fit. I'm just asking you, Lord, to send us the people we need, that you would have us to have. But also, Lord, I'm asking you to help us to focus on what you would have us to do daily. We thank you for Jesus most especially. In his name we pray. Amen.
Page 195.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
You know, sometimes I don't know if I'm really capable of delivering that message like I would like for it to be delivered. I don't know, but I do know this in my heart, that God is at work here, and that sometimes, you know, I think that we get to the point where you say, well, what do we need to do different? I don't think we need to do anything different, Miss Jerry. I think we need to just keep serving God.
Amen.
And I think that we need to keep studying and holding in our heart the love of God and focus on Him. That's really what we're supposed to be doing. And when we do that, then God will bless us. He's already blessed us. He continues to bless us. My prayer is that God be glorified. Sometimes I think we worry too much about things that are beyond our control. And you know what's in my control? How I live every day. Well, preacher, the Bible tells us we're sinners. It sure does. And I am one. I'm the chiefest among us. But you know what? I know the Forgiver. And He's faithful and just to forgive me. Thank you for coming this morning. Keep inviting people. Keep coming. Keep serving. Keep loving. The Bible tells us that this world will know us by the love that we have one for another, because it's not natural, because this old human body is sinful and selfish. And the love that comes out, that comes from God. All right, tonight,
5 o'clock,
choir practice. And then 6 o'clock, we'll be in the book of Ephesians. I like to keep y'all confused, and it confuses me. I told y'all Wednesday night, Ezekiel, and some of you started turning there. We have good Bible study on Sunday night and Wednesday night, so please come and join. 5 o'clock for choir practice. Gene, you got plenty of choir. You need some more.
I need some more.
All right. Come. Sing.